reading from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. See, my servant will succeed. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. In this way he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will consider. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely, he took up our sickness, and our pains he bore them. Yet we considered him stricken by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but was with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will succeed in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as his inheritance, and the mighty he will take as spoils, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered among the criminals, for he bore the sin of many and took the place of the rebels. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Holy Spirit, through your words, open our hearts to see wonderful things in your teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. On the wall at home growing up, there was a painting from someone in the congregation, a painting of Jesus' crucifixion. It was copied from a famous work called the Eisenheim Altarpiece from around the 1500s. In this painting is Jesus crucified in the middle, and John the Baptist is painted there on the right, pointing at Jesus, and it says, "He must increase and I must decrease." And then on Jesus' left is Mary, his mother, with John, and at the foot of the cross is Mary Magdalene praying. I feel bad. I looked at this painting so much growing up, and most of the time, I didn't like it. I just didn't think it was a very good painting. There were little things that seemed wrong with it. Mary's fingers looked a little strange. Jesus' neck looked too long. If I can use the words of Isaiah, I did not esteem this painting very highly. But that's nothing compared to what people thought when they saw the inspiration for that painting. The real thing. It seems like it should have looked different when Jesus was out there doing God's will, trying to accomplish salvation. 700 years before he did this, God showed Isaiah a prophecy. And he said, this is how God's servant, God with us, Emmanuel, is going to save the world. And it starts out sounding like you might expect. He says, Isaiah, look, my servant will succeed. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Now that's the kind of picture or painting we'd expect. God's servant described with words that only God himself is described with. Exalted, raised up, greatly glorified, lifted high. This is what we expect when God's servant achieves his victory. But then the vision goes on. And God shows Isaiah this painting, this prophecy of what it would look like. And he starts it like this. Just as there were many who were appalled at you. Just as there were many who were appalled at you. The Lord is talking to Isaiah, and he's saying, Isaiah, there were lots of people who were appalled at you. At you, Isaiah, at your ministry. They looked at you and they said, something's wrong. There was a time when God told Isaiah to walk around and prophesy judgment naked and barefoot for 3 years. That was probably appalling. People probably saw that and thought, what is that guy doing? But that's not the only thing that was appalling. No, mostly it was Isaiah's message. Isaiah's message of judgment. Repent, turn away from your sins. And grace. Ridiculous grace. No, don't do anything. God will do everything to save you. People were appalled at that message. And God says, Isaiah, when the better servant comes, the great prophet, Jesus, when he comes, just as there were many who were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. This servant of God will be so disfigured you won't even be able to recognize him as human. Covered in blood and dirt, squirming, dying. He's more worm than man. And people will be appalled or shocked. Isaiah talks about what would happen on the night Jesus was betrayed and on trial and crucified. He says, kings will shut their mouths because of him. You think of King Herod, who summons Jesus. He's so excited to see this servant of God. But Jesus doesn't say anything. Jesus doesn't do anything. And King Herod sends him away. You think of Pilate, who's appalled at this supposed king of the Jews who won't even open his mouth to defend himself. They at least have to consider, who is this servant of God? But God's own people, they don't even do that. They don't want to consider this servant. They don't even want to look at him. Isaiah goes on, he says, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who believed this? Who would believe this about God's servant? The implied answer? No one. He goes on, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. That's the picture, that's the painting of God's servant. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Can you even tell? He's so beaten and bloodied and bruised. Jesus of Nazareth, people don't even want to look at him like one from whom men hide their faces. But who hides their faces from him? Who doesn't want to look? Who's appalled? Isaiah says, we. We held him in low esteem. He includes himself, the imperfect servant of God. He includes all of God's people. He includes us. who look at Jesus and this picture of suffering and think, that's not right, there's something wrong with this painting. We do that in our lives when God has this marvelous plan. God, who is highly exalted, his thoughts are better than our thoughts, so much better. And then when his plan looks like suffering in our lives, blood and dirt and squirming and wrestling in prayer, we think, God, there's something wrong here. Why should my life be like this? I'm getting upset. We held him in low esteem. That's us by nature. Who wants to look at something like that? And we do turn our faces away whenever we give in to sin, no matter how small. When we think things like, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, come on, God, this is an overreaction. This person dying on the cross, destroyed in such a wicked way, it was just a tiny little sin. We're appalled that God would take it so seriously. That's not what's wrong with this painting. That God would do such horrible things to his servants. No, what's actually wrong with this painting? That Eisenheim altarpiece, it was originally hung in a monastery that also served as a hospital for people suffering from the Black Plague. And one thing that could be wrong with it, I suppose, that I never noticed, but if you look closely at the original, Jesus has little black boils all over his body. Little pockmarks. Why is his neck so contorted? Why are his feet so black and dying? It's because in this painting, Jesus is suffering from the Black Plague. And if you think that's historically inaccurate, if you think that might be wrong, you'd be right, but you have to take it a step further. It's wrong that Jesus is on the cross at all. It's wrong that he would suffer. It's wrong that anything bad would happen to him, this perfect person. The wages of sin is death, but he hasn't sinned. So why is he dying? What's wrong with this picture? Isaiah looks closely and he sees this. Surely he took up our sickness. What could those people dying that quick and painful death from the Black Plague see as they looked up at this picture of Jesus? They could see, he has my wounds. Well, that's my sickness right there. And what do we see as we look with Isaiah? This can't be right. Jesus is suffering my sickness. That deep-seated sickness of sin. And what else? Look, our pains, he bore them. The pain that comes from every sin, from every separation, from all grief, from all sadness, from all abuse, from every shooting, from all this mental anguish, from all the pain that people cannot carry. He's carrying it all. And why? It's for you. It's for Isaiah. It's for us. And it's not wrong. At least not in God's eyes. Look closely at God's servant. Look closely as he suffers there. He's exactly where he wants to be. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. He could have. If you are the Son of God, come down, they said. He could have, but he will not open his mouth. No, he's exactly where he wants to be. In the painting of God's will, He's going obediently, willingly, like a lamb led to the slaughter. Because why is he there? Well, it's not to make you feel bad. What a nice painting that would be in that monastery. All right, wheel in all these people dying from the Black Plague. Make them look at Jesus. Look at what you did. Don't you feel bad before you die? That's not it. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. What could those people suffering see as they looked up at that painting of Jesus? They could see that he was healing them by taking their sickness away. They could look at him and say, Jesus is taking everything wrong on himself so that I can be made right. That painting was there so that they could look at their Savior and find healing for their sin-sick souls. And that's what we find there. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. See Jesus gripped by guilt so that you could be free. See Jesus punished so you can have peace. See Jesus stained by sin so you could be sanctified and holy in God's eyes. See his wounds, because those are the wounds that heal you. There's nothing wrong with this painting. And that's what Isaiah returns to at the end of this prophecy. It comes full circle. At the start, he says, look at this servant. He's highly exalted. He will be greatly glorified. And this is how, by suffering, by showing the glory of God's grace, incomparable grace. And then what happens at the end? It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will succeed in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. After God has made his life an offering for our sins, he will see the light of life. He will see his offspring and be satisfied. Perfect. No finishing touches required. It is finished. I read an Old Testament commentator on these verses, and he just couldn't figure it out. This doesn't make any sense. This is so puzzling. The commentator said, it is puzzling that after the servant has been reported dead and buried, this possibility of a long and happy life should be offered. He was puzzled by this painting, that this greatly exalted servant could suffer and die and then somehow be alive and see the light of life. It was puzzling to him, but not to you. Because you know what it means that Jesus said, it is finished. You know what happened 3 days after this. You know your Savior. And it's a wonderful thing to see this painting from his perspective, because it does add a little bit. We see a suffering servant. He sees offspring. You, children of God, through the faith that he gives you. We see death. He sees life. So even though the painting is a good one, maybe we could add that in our mind's eye. Maybe we could add a little bit from our stained glass window over here. That man in the far left panel, he's not holding a vacuum cleaner. He's holding a crutch. Who is that? It's someone who couldn't walk before. someone who had to walk with a crutch, someone who was paralyzed, and he's holding up his crutch, and he's pointing at this man, saying, "By his wounds, I am healed." And if we add anything into this painting of the crucifixion today, maybe that's what we can add. The shepherd dies to bring his wayward sheep back together, gathered around him. We can add God's people at peace. We can add believers healed by Jesus' wounds and kneeling to exalt this servant, fulfilling God's will in exactly the way he should to save you. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.